Righty ho there, infidels. Here we are, final hour of the show. It's Friday afternoon, and you can't ask for much more than that, except maybe a tall, cold one, maybe a margarita, something like that. And we'll get to that soon. Well, actually, we will get to it soon enough. This is another 53 minutes before we get to that. But hey, if you're just joining us, welcome aboard. Welcome to the start of the weekend, or at least the preliminary warm-up, as we head into the final hour. If you're just joining us, you're just in time. This is talk radio fun. This is news junkie fun. Maybe fun is not the right word. If you're just joining us, I'm just talking about this article that hit this afternoon by Declan McCullough. House panel approves broadened ISP snooping bill. Now, first off, coming from the leave me alone part of the herd, it always bothers me that the government's always figuring out new ways to get into my sock drawer or my bank account or my computer or my tackle box or whatever. I mean, they just say they're relentless. And unlike the lady that called those a couple of years back when we were talking about the Patriot Act, and she said, well, what do you got to worry about? If you got nothing to hide, then you don't have to worry about federal agents coming into your house. I remember I said, really? You got nothing to hide? What's your date of birth and Social Security number? Didn't get much out of that. Anyway, and that, of course, all brought me back around to Jim Bovard. His first couple of books that I read, Lost Rights and Freedom in Chains and so on. This guy's been standing guard more than any other entity to keep an eye on things like this. He had Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, Attention Deficit Democracy, all these things pointing to what the government does to screw you. So when I saw this article, I said, I wonder if Jim's looked at this thing yet. So I gave him a call, and he said, let's yap it up. So I'm running a big risk here that behind this blinking red light, we will find author and writer extraordinaire James Bovard. Hello, James.
Hey, Brian. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Works like a charm. Hey, I meant to tell you, I found a beer I liked.
You found a beer you like?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, yes. I'm just laying on the floor half dead. I just can't believe this. I mean, that's almost as strange as me enjoying fishing.
That's exactly right. That's why I wanted to get out there first. Folks, very quickly, in the interest of full disclosure, back when I was living near the logic-free zone, and Jim and I were starting this friendship, Jim made a Herculean effort to try to teach me about beer. There was a brew pub not far from where we did the broadcast for the fair thing here a few months back. And I flunked, or the beer flunked. So
it's
I don't
not
know.
Flunking. I mean, it's just being tone deaf.
Tone deaf. I guess if your taste buds could be tone deaf, yeah.
But tone deaf on beer, akin to how I am on fine wine. I mean, cheap wine I can appreciate.
Cheap. Well, I know you did real fine with the MD 2020 and the Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill, but that was
always tastes better in a brown bag.
That is also correct. Let me tell you about it. It's called Summer Shanty.
Summer Shanty. Okay, by who?
Shaggy. Who makes that stuff?
That would be Leinenkugel.
Leinenkugel.
Okay. Okay.
I never heard of them either, but I was at a bar waiting for my APD Nathan Reed to come in. It's called the Village Idiot. How appropriate, over in Maumee, outside of Toledo. And the bartender squeezed some of that out of the. And I said, this is really good. I can really enjoy this. I just thought I'd tell you that beer now has a toehold in the fridge.
Well, there are some summer beers that have a strong appeal to people that don't like the usual hoppy kind of stuff. So
that's me.
Okay,
that's definitely
great.
Me. Yeah. Well, anyway, this has nothing to do with the government snooping into your ISP, but they'll probably start snooping into your beer locker here pretty soon if things are going on. So here comes, the thing that started me off on this that really caught my eye, Jim, was the early in the story, one of the people speaking out against this little chunk of legislation was Zoe Lofgren. I remember her from being on in San Francisco. That woman was certifiable.
Well, the interesting thing is that there's it's a very good article that on CNET News, maybe it's linked to on your webpage already, But, I mean, one of the things that struck me was it mentioned that this vote is a victory for conservative Republicans who made data retention their first major technology initiative after last fall's elections.
Right.
Their first major technology initiative. Let's go back to the dark ages. I mean, this is the same thing as having federal agents follow everybody into a bookstore or follow everybody into a library. And this is what the GOP wants to do. This is what many members of the GOP want to do. Not all, but it's just amazing that these folks would be such utter idiots on this. And you know, there are all kinds of dangers on this. It mentions in the article that if this information is saved, it could only be a question of time until people like divorce lawyers and others start using it cause all kinds of havoc.
Well, we were talking about it. I was talking about it with Shaggy before, while the news was on. And even taking it one step further, if you can hack into the Pentagon, if you can hack your way into NSA, and all these other, and Sony, and all these other huge places that we've heard about here lately, if you can hack into the tax department of state governments, and so on, this is so contrary to common sense and logic, because you're going to have this treasure trove of, what do they say they want? They want name, they want address, they want credit card numbers, they want phone numbers, they want bank account numbers, they'll want passwords. Man, anybody that gets into that, it's like Solomon Mines on steroids.
Well, and the federal government doesn't care if hackers get this information, as long as the government can put their fingers on it and use it however they want. Because, I mean, most of your listening audience has never had the experience of being under a major federal investigation. But once that kind of juggernaut gets going, they would use any card they can find against a person to try to flip them, to try to make them confess, to try to turn them into an informant. And there are all kinds of tools that they could get to exploit power over people. And the paradox here, the Congress is doing this at the same time that the Congress really doesn't give a darn that so many federal agencies now are completely secretive. It's very difficult to find out what the government is doing unless you have WikiLeaks or things like that.
Yes.
Seriously, I mean, as someone who's used the Freedom of Information Act, the federal act that's supposed to provide open government, I've used it many times. Most of the time, I just get stiffed, and most of the time, I get these answers that don't make a lick of sense, and, you know, I can't quite prove it's a bald-faced lie, but I'm thinking, like, yeah, you couldn't find that, you know. I wonder how you can find your, I'll let go with that.
In a corner with both hands, but that is that's right. All right. There was a Texas congressman who used it on Fox this afternoon.
Oh,
the same
right.
analogy.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Now that you brought that up, the length and depth and breadth to which all these agencies are doing things that are not just contradictory, contradict anything having to do with the Constitution and contradict their own charters, their own missions, or whatever. But just as in your case, they ignore the law with impunity and. This Fast and Furious thing going on with BATF. You've got people getting shot and killed, not just two Border Patrol people, but 150-some-odd Mexicans and so on because of this cockamamie notion that the BATF put together to get themselves some headlines to get a better budget deal. Fascinating.
Well, yeah, there was a Washington Post article on that ATF thing. It was fascinating how it portrayed. It was like it wasn't a real problem until a U.S. Border Patrol agent got killed by one of the guns. And then, oh, well, you know, now this is going to be embarrassing. It didn't matter how many civilians, Americans, and Mexicans were killed because of this federal action. It just simply, you know, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how hard Congress pushes to get the truth on this. Because this is there's so many things ATF has done to screw up over the decades, and why they still exist is a mystery.
Yeah, well, maybe that'd be one of the things the Republicans come up with to lop off their budget when they're doing their little dance here down the road from where you are. Ha ha.
Yeah.
But certainly, getting back to this. This ISP thing, I pegged that part that you had picked out about the this being the primary, the first major technology initiative, and that's just the first technology initiative. What are other initiatives they got going over there?
It's funny that the conservative Republicans would think of this as a technology initiative when it's practically designed to shut down the internet.
Well, excellent point. Excellent point. And the hypocrisy. It's nice that CNET actually admitted it, to make it politically difficult to oppose proponents of the data retention requirements, dubbed the bill the Protecting Children from Internet Pornographers Act of 2011. I think that's great to the extent that people are paying attention to see this is the way opinion and feelings and thoughts and people are manipulated by nonsense like that.
Well, this is the same kind of thing that's happened with laws on the Internet for at least the last dozen years, because there's a number of child porn type labels they put on laws. And if memory serves, federal judges have struck those laws down again and again as grossly violating the First Amendment. This is a contemporary equivalent of flag burning, a phrase that politicians can throw out and everybody's supposed to go ooh and ah. But I mean, I'm really glad to see this article laying out the facts. Hopefully there's gonna be a backlash. I'm glad you jumped on this. I mean, it's just amazing to see what idiocy these congressmen are up to on this. And it's bipartisan, but on this, yeah, it's more Republican than Democrat.
Well, yes, but it is, I always find it, and that's where, you know, you're trying to find any port in a storm, the grasping at straws, the if there's any good that's coming out of all of this, whether it be the, as I refer to it, the kabuki dance that's going on with this budget business and the so-called default and all that blatant lying and nonsense, this contrived crisis, all the way to, you know, to this little pearl. If there's any positive that's coming out of it, is that the American people, if they're just paying a little bit of attention, are having an opportunity to see, you know, the vacuity, the hubris, the condescension, the lying, the shell game that these guys are playing up there, with no real intention or hope of getting to a solution that's going to positively impact the citizen.
Ryan, how is this different than business as normal?
Yeah. Well, I think the difference.
Yes, it's a little more intense. There's a media focus. There's the web pages. The Washington Post has the minute by minute, second by second countdown to the debt deadline. I mean, this is the same kind of BS that we've been seeing shoveled for decades. I mean, I hope it spurs a backlash. I hope folks suddenly say, "Gee, almost everybody in Washington is full of it." But you know. I've been waiting a long time. So
I know you've been very patient. Actually, you haven't. You've been writing instead, and that's always a good thing. I gotta run get this Wall Street Journal report. But thanks for your thoughts on this thing, Jim. Always great yapping. And hey, try my beer. You might like it.
Well, I'll keep my open for that. If you keep your eye open for Raging Bitch. My favorite beer.
I will do that. Thanks, Jim Bovard.